Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. Good evening. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, a summer edition. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood. Joined alongside my co-host Blake Friars, and we are in the dog days of the off season. It is the middle of August, and it feels like this month. No, not even the middle. We're only 7 days into August, and it seems like the longest month of my life.
Yeah, it's we're in the territory right now where baseball is the only thing on. Football starts up next month or next week, I should say, preseason, and then preseason hockey will be here before we know it. This is always the toughest month for sports fans, at least ones that don't like watching baseball. I like watching baseball, but we're almost at the finish line for sure.
Golf. Have you been golfing a lot?
I went golfing in Yorkton for the first time yesterday. Shot the worst round of my life. Not great. But yeah, I've been out like 40 times this summer. I got a chance to golf a lot, which makes me happy. The last couple of years, I've had back-to-back foot surgeries, so I only golfed a total of two rounds combined the last two summers. So this year, I decided to get a membership at Woodlawn and Estevan, and I got out a lot, which is good. You?
I got out in the beginning of the year really good, and now it's tailed off, but I'm more of a fall golfer anyways, so I'm not a good heat guy, so I'll get things going again here. But we're talking to work today, and we're arguing about gimme putts. What's your rules for a gimme putt?
Inside club.
The club? Oh, really?
Well, I mean, 2 feet? 2.5 feet?
Yeah. I always say the grip down.
The head to the bottom of the grip.
Yeah, that's what I say.
So that's probably about 2 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I say.
Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, some people that golf with, they're like, gimme for gimme, and it's, if yours is theirs is longer than yours, it's like, oh, I don't know, you might need to finish that one.
Let's do this.
If I'm struggling with putting and he asked me, hey, sure, I'll take that, no problem.
Did you play a lot of street hockey growing up?
I did, yeah, every day. It was actually funny because the way our street light was, it was like the brightest light in the town of Beanfeet, and growing up, like, that was a place to be. The only bad thing, it was like right off the highway. Ooh. So if you shot like over the net, the ball would roll like across the highway, and like we have to like watch where cars are, and like we would set up like netting around the net so it didn't fly back. But
So you used a ball, because I was wondering, like,
well, yeah, did you use a plastic puck? No, we didn't use a real puck ever. No, not a chance.
But that stupid orange puck, did you use the stupid orange street hockey?
We used like a, it was like a, at night we played with a glow in the dark green puck. It was actually really cool. It gave us a chance to play longer. You couldn't really see the orange one very good. That one was really light. Sometimes you use a tennis ball.
That's where it's at. We use tennis balls.
Yeah, like there was a lot of different things we did, but yeah, that brings back a lot of memories. Just getting the goalie gear on. I honestly didn't play net that much. I liked to play out, and that was a lot of fun. We always had big tournaments in the summer and the winter, and that was a lot of fun. But I mean, you look now, all these kids are inside. Street hockey's not even a thing anymore. They're more focused on playing video games or playing on their iPads and stuff like that. It's kind of sad that tradition didn't carry on to this generation. But lot of fun playing street hockey growing up, for sure.
We used tennis balls, and you know what we would do? Because you'd play out in the snow, and they'd freeze up. They get hard as a rock.
Oh yeah.
So we would hard. You know, every so many minutes, like every half hour, we'd run them in and put them in the microwave.
Or you just have some in the warm garage and just reload them.
Because
I remember getting hit with a tennis ball, frozen tennis ball, and you have welts on your legs for days.
I took a few shots.
I remember I got a shot off the back, and I had the biggest welt on my back of all time. It was insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. I miss the old street hockey days.
Yeah.
So Yorkton, you mentioned Yorkton. Tell everybody a little bit about what's been going on the last week and why we missed a show last week. We didn't really miss a show. We just pushed it back to this week. But Blake's on the move doing some hockey stuff, and you're on your way to Yorkton now, right?
Yeah, I'm up here in Yorkton, just in a little small place just down from the rink. So Monday to Friday from 12 to 6, I'm going to be working at GX94 doing afternoon news on the radio, which is new for me.
I am going to have to tune in.
Yeah. So I start actually tomorrow is my first day, Tuesday, just after the long weekend here in Canada. But yeah, it's new for me. I'm excited. It's a new opportunity for me. And I'm also going to be working with the Yorkton Terriers, doing the play-by-play and hockey TV. So back doing announcing, which I went to school for. I went to school for the radio background too. But yeah, I'm excited. It's a new opportunity and should be fun.
Yeah, it should be good. It's always good to get back into the groove again. So I know last year was a difficult winter for you, so we're back to good. And another thing that's going to make you happy, did you notice October 24th, the NHL season, 16 games that night, and they staggered the games. 6 o'clock.
Thank you. 6:30. How long have we been doing this podcast? This is year six.
But you know, this is the end of
year six. And Brad Baroud was always like, "Oh, you can't stagger the games; it won't work." There you go.
Well, watch.
What is it?
It's not going to matter.
15 minutes apart. Awesome.
It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. What's that going to do for you?
It's the worst when every single game is in intermission and you can't game flip. You can only game flip while the period is going. Now your favorite team gets over. Calgary's game's over. Okay, I want to go watch Carolina Buffalo. That game gets over. Let's go watch some of the late games now. You're going to have hockey on for 5 straight hours. It's like football does it amazingly. Amazing. Everything is spaced out. It's amazing. It finally, some common sense has made its way into the game of hockey, and it makes me really excited and happy.
We'll see.
Because I've been pounding the table for this for 5 years.
Well, one thing that I'm happy about is there's no day games that day. Thank God.
Yeah, every game starts at like what, 4? The first game at 4?
6 o'clock Central.
6:15, 6:30, 6:45, 7 on the way we go.
The last one's at 10 o'clock.
Central. Perfect. Perfect. I hope they do more, not just one day.
Oh, I'm with you. I like it. I'm all for
it's
it.
It's for a game for a guy that likes watching hockey, and I can flip between 15 games. Sign me up for that every day.
Yeah. Oh, it'll
not
be good.
Not every day. You know what I mean? But maybe like say they do it like twice a month, or something. Or every other Saturday you do something like that. For game starts at 2 o'clock or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think it's good that they're at least acknowledging that there's a slight problem.
Because I think they're going to notice a huge increase in viewership, because a lot of people, especially if they do it on a weekend, they'll have no problem sitting on a couch and watching hockey all day.
Well, it starts.
They do it on Sunday for football, so why not try it for hockey? It makes too much sense.
Yeah, oh, it should be good. And lots to talk about on the show today. We're going to start off with a segment called Yes, No, or Maybe. I'll give you the rules before we get going here, but I don't think Blake will follow the rules. Then we'll go around the league, talk about the Carlson trade. Finally traded. LTIR signing. Well, we got an LTIR situation again. Big shocker there. We'll talk some signings and some arbitration. Arbitration, I just shake my head, but we're going to talk about that. All right, this is something I've wanted to do for a few years, and I've just never done it. And I thought, well, this offseason, this is we're going to do it. And first, I got to give credit, because I'm stealing this idea from SiriusXM. I believe Mick Kern came up with it. And I'm stealing it. I'm only stealing it for a day. He does it every week, I believe. I'm stealing it one time, and I had 20 questions. And I'm going to fire him at Blake. And all he can answer with, which is going to kill him, absolutely kill him, is one of three words. He either has to say yes, no, or maybe. And when we're all done with the questions, we can expand on a few of them. But initially, all he can say is yes, no, or maybe.
Okay, let's go.
Are you ready?
I am. Okay. Let's do it.
70 points for Bedard next season.
Maybe.
Will there be an NHL team in Salt Lake City in 10 years?
Yes.
Whoa. Connor McDavid is currently a top 10 all-time NHL player.
Ooh. Yes.
Oh. Philadelphia Flyers trade Carter Hart in the next year.
Maybe.
You can't take cop-out maybes on every answer here.
I said maybe on twice and yes on two.
Okay. Vegas Golden Knights will make the Stanley Cup Finals again next season.
No.
Jonathan Huberdeau will rebound to a point-a-game player next season.
Yes.
Sheldon Keefe will finish next season as coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yes.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'll keep going. I like this. This is good.
Would you get a tattoo on your face if it guaranteed your Canucks would win the cup next season?
No, not a chance. You wouldn't either, so zip it.
Ovi scored 50 in a single Okay. Will Ovi score 50 in a single season before he retires?
Yes.
The New Jersey Devils win a Stanley Cup in the next 3 years.
I'm going to say no.
Yorkton Terriers make the SJHL playoffs next season.
I don't know. Maybe.
Hot dogs are the best food to eat while watching hockey.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Toronto Maple Leafs are the team you hate the worst in hockey.
Yes.
Dogs are better than cats.
Yes.
You would sing the national anthem naked at center ice for your favorite team to win the Stanley Cup 3 years in a row.
Whatever it takes. Yeah, let's do it. Oh my God. No, of course not. That's crazy.
Carey Price is the best goalie you've seen play.
Live?
Seen play.
Yes. Live? Yes.
Five Guys is the best fast food burger.
No.
Would you quit watching and following hockey for $1 million?
No.
Would you take $50,000 a year to only wear your arch rival's team gear?
No.
Saskatchewan is better than Manitoba.
Yes.
Okay, that's it. Now I got to ask you some questions here. Not about all of them. You think Connor McDavid's already a top 10 NHL all-time player?
I do. No, I seriously do. I mean, we haven't seen this. We haven't seen production like this since Wayne Gretzky, dude, or Mario Lemieux. Seriously. Okay. Like, I think he's already a top 10 player in the league. History.
You actually think, I don't know. And you're probably going to be right on this one with the Sheldon Keefe, but I don't, if they struggle out of the gate, I think he's the first guy that could be fired. But
well, he's an easy
target.
Oh, for sure. But I think what listening to Brad Tree Living, he says that that's their guy. I mean, is there a better coach out there to replace maybe Joe Quenneville than Keefe right now?
No,
I mean, that's what you ask yourself is if we're firing Keefe, A, is that the right move? And B, is the guy coming in better than him?
Yeah, but nobody uses that logic when they fired their coach.
Yeah, it's all, but
when Travis Green got fired, was there anybody better?
Well, they brought in Bruce Boudreau, so yeah, he was better. What do you mean?
But then they kicked him to the curb just a...
We're going down this route.
Well, I'm just... Okay, on to the next thing. I figured Toronto was the team you hated the most.
Yeah, I shouldn't say I hate the Leafs. I just hate their fans, to be honest.
You wouldn't do the naked thing? Fans, you wouldn't sing
naked. Neither would you, eh?
No, I wouldn't either.
That would be bad.
You honestly think Carey Price is the best goalie you've seen? Like, seriously?
Live? Him or Luongo? Yeah. They have to be. Live? I didn't get to see Patrick Waugh play live. I didn't get to see Martin Brodeur play live. Like, those two would probably be my 1A and 1B.
So who's a better burger than Five Guys?
Oh, I mean...
Fast food. Fast food now. There's a ton of them better, but fast food.
I see, in Canada, we're so sheltered to that, to fast food. Like, you don't got In-N-Out in Canada. Like, you don't got, like, a lot of those places. I had a place in California. I forget what it was called.
Oh, I know. Are you sure it wasn't an In-N-Out?
No, I had In-N-Out in this, and I was very disappointed. I did not like it at all.
It's overhyped. It's way
overhyped. I thought it was really overrated.
Yeah.
I liked Chick-fil-A, but that's a chicken sandwich place. That's not a burger place. It was a place in California called, it was like Farmers something. I'll have to ask my buddy that lives in California where we went.
Well, it doesn't sound fast food.
It was fast food. It was fast food.
I don't mind Culver's burgers. Those are pretty good.
Culver's are good. They got one in mine and I enjoy those. I like the fries. I like the crinkle cut fries from there. They're really good. I'm not a huge Five Guys. Like, I'll eat it, but it wouldn't be my first choice.
So I thought this was an interesting question when I asked you if you'd quit watching and following hockey for $1 million.
There's no, you couldn't pay me, like.
I know, because I couldn't either. I wouldn't either, because I don't know what I wouldn't be able to do.
I don't even think I'd do it for $10 million.
I wouldn't be happy.
I would be so miserable not watching, like, any game. Like, no amount of money could ever, make me not watch the game I love the most. You know what I mean? It's just happiness is worth more than money. You can't buy happiness, dude. No. You really can't.
No, I'm with
you. I wouldn't do it.
And one last thing, Saskatchewan better than Manitoba. Why?
Oh, I said, I'm just biased. That's just bias. I don't know.
You don't need to explain to our listeners.
I've been to Brandon and Winnipeg.
You don't need to explain to our listeners your bias because we see it every year with the Canucks. So
okay, zip it, man.
All right, time to go around the league. All right, Erik Karlsson finally a Pittsburgh Penguin after a monster three-way trade. I don't know, Blake. I'm going to be completely honest, and then I want your take on this, because I read this trade, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I was just like, I really just don't give a shit about this trade for some reason.
That's fair. I mean,
I don't know why.
There's multiple ways to look at this, to look at this trade, I should say. So just let's read the whole trade, and then I'll go into my thoughts.
Okay, Pittsburgh receives Karlsson via San Jose, Rem Pitlick via Montreal, Hamiluk from San Jose, a 2026 third-round draft pick from San Jose. San Jose receives a 2024 first-round pick from Pittsburgh. They get Mikael Granlund from Pittsburgh. They get Jan Ruutu from Pittsburgh. They get Mike Hoffman from Montreal. And Montreal gets a 2025 second round pick from Pittsburgh, Jeff Petrie from Pittsburgh, Casey DeSmith from Pittsburgh, and Nathan Legarie from Pittsburgh. I think Montreal gets the upper hand here.
Yeah, I would agree. But let's break it down from.
Oh, and I, you know, we do have to say that the Sharks retained $1.5 million of his salary, and the Penguins retained 25% of Petrie's salary. So Petrie's getting flipped. Petrie is not playing for the Canadiens.
He either plays there and they flip him at the deadline.
Well, he said he won't play for a Canadian team, so he's getting flipped. But they'll get a good asset. They'll get a good return on him. Because now...
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, he played there for like 7 years. So
and wants out from COVID. He does not want to be there.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Okay, anyway, so let's break it down for all three teams here. Okay, so you look at San Jose. Okay, San Jose trades the best player in this trade. Okay, they retain $1.5 million of Carlson's contract. They could have got a lot more in this trade if they retained $5 million, $6 million.
Yeah, but that wouldn't
wasn't their have been, goal. No. That wasn't their goal in this trade. That wasn't their goal.
No.
They knew they weren't getting a full face value for a 100-point right-handed defenseman. What they were doing is getting $10 million a season for the next four seasons in cap space. $10 million of cap space that you can just wash your hands with and do whatever you want with it.
That's
a lot of money in a flat cap world that got freed up.
But there's a glitch in that, though, because Hoffman's expensive and Granlund's expensive.
Yeah, those guys are pending UFAs. They're not bringing those guys back.
No, I know.
That's just to get to the floor. You got to get to the floor. I'm just saying, I see why they would only retain 1.5 on him, because the reward in all this is that they get $40 million in cap space over the next 4 years. That's the reward.
I hear so many people saying that San Jose got fleeced on this, and I'm thinking a year ago they were willing to give him up for nothing if someone would just take the cap.
No, they wanted four first-round picks last year.
No, I know. Their ask was enormous. But when you boil down to it, the year before that, before he had a good year last year, they would have given him away if you'd have just taken 75% of the salary.
Which is what they now, but he's coming off 105-point season.
Yes,
which is why some fans are outraged. I understand from a fan perspective why you would be upset, but you got to look at the big picture here. You got the most important piece out of this all, which is cap space.
Yes,
a lot of teams would sign up for $10 million cap space right now if they could. A lot of teams.
Well, what do you think of Montreal's return? Because I thought theirs was the best. Montreal's
return, you either keep Petrie on your team, or you flip him at the deadline, or you flip him right now. You get a good asset for him, because there's going to be a lot of teams that would trade. You can even retain another 25%, and you get him for what, $3 million?
And then if someone can get him for $3 million, they will give you a lot.
You might get a first round pick out of him. I don't know.
You might. You get
a respectable backup.
Yes.
You get a respectable backup for cheap. You get a second round pick in the 2025 draft, and you get a prospect. I mean, all Montreal had to do was eat Petrie's contract back, and they got all this asset. I mean, that's a pretty tidy piece of business by Montreal. I mean, I've liked a lot of what Montreal has done with getting Kirby Dach, and they locked up Cole Caulfield. They locked up Nick Suzuki. I mean, they're one goalie away from maybe like knocking on the door here for the playoffs. They got a good young team. They didn't have a good goalie last year, man. No. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but I think if they got a goalie, they could surprise some teams, because they can score goals.
Well, we'll see your predictions here in a month or so.
I'm not picking them to make the playoffs. I'm just saying.
Pittsburgh gets Carlson, Pitlick. I mean, they get a third round draft pick. Okay, here's my deal with this. Like, the Pittsburgh Penguins, when they look at their roster right now, it is the oldest roster I've ever seen. Yep. In the cap era. I mean, they've got Carlson 33, Carter 38, Malkin 37, Crosby 36, Letang 36, Eller 34, Smith 32, Russ 31. Like, okay.
I will boil this down to you in less than a minute. Fenway Sports went and got Kyle Dubas and said, Kyle, your goal the next 3 years is to squeeze one more cup out of the Crosby and Malkin era. That's his goal.
I know, you but got they've got contracts.
Kicks at the can. You just signed Letang for what? A 3-year extension?
Right? More than that, I think.
I'll have to go back and look. Crosby needs to get paid next season or the year after. But they have a 3-year window. They have a 3-year window to win one more cup with this core. And Dubas.
Crosby's got 2 more years. Malkin's got 3 more years. They got Rust at 5.1 till the end of time. They've got Raquel at $5 million for a long time.
I think Letang was 5 years, was it not?
Letang has 5 more years.
Yeah.
Oh, he's 36.
It's an aging core for sure, but they still have a lot of good pieces on that team. And you add Carlson, they're probably going to have one of the best power plays in the league.
So do you think they're still going to have are they a cup contender? Because I don't think so.
Well, I think you're going to see a very motivated team coming off missing the playoffs for the first time in the Crosby era since 2006. I just think, like, you got a core of Crosby now, Malkin, Letang, Carlson, Tristan Jarry. You got a lot of good pieces around him, too, with Rust, and you got Jake Guentzel, and you got Ricard Raquel.
So you're good with their goaltending?
I don't love their goaltending, but I think Jari's good enough to be a playoff team. I do. I don't love Carlson's defense. I was on record on here saying that he shouldn't have won the Norris.
No, he's not even close. Like, he's not even a good defenseman. He's good offensively, but defensively he's...
You hear that, Brad?
Awful.
You hear that?
What?
You got some loud thunder all in the old Yorkton.
Really?
hopefully we don't lose power here, but we said it was going to take a complicated 3-way trade for this to happen because of the contract that Carlson has, and this is what we got. And I think Montreal is the winner out of this trade, to be honest.
We'll see how it all plays out. But if Pittsburgh gets a cup, then they obviously win it. But if they don't get a cup, they are going to hate their lives for years and years and years to come. So, speaking of craziness going on, LTIR, we're back at it again, as Matt Murray has been out indefinitely on LTIR. They're not even hiding this anymore. What I want to know is, who are the doctors signing off on this?
Okay, let me just give you a quick timeline on here, okay? So, in the playoffs, Matt Murray is declared healthy enough to be the Toronto Maple Leafs' third goalie. Healthy enough to be their third goalie and backup if necessary. He's healthy enough to dress. Now they go out and make all these moves and they sign all these players, and all of a sudden, he's out indefinitely. He didn't even play a game when he fell down the damn stairs at his cottage. It's a joke. It started with the Kucherov shit. Now it went to Mark Stone, and now it's on to the Matt Murray. I cannot wait until this CBA is done.
They won't. The player
needs to get changed.
No, what we need to do is we need to hold doctors accountable. Who is signing off on this?
Or just like for the playoff, just make it cap compliant. You're not allowed to use LTIR in the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's not hard. It's not. It's very correctable. 2 steps.
But the PA will fight it. We'll fight it. We'll fight it.
I don't know, man. I don't even think it's the PA's fighting. It's the owners.
I know.
Because
I know
the ones that are manipulating the cap.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
It's not the PA. It's the owners.
I know.
Gary Bettman needs to step in because it's getting bad. It's a bad look for the league.
It's a bad look for the league.
When you deem a guy healthy enough to play and 4 months later he's out and definitely on an LTIR.
4 months of offseason.
It's dumb. It's stupid. It's dumb.
Yep. Signings. We've had quite a few signings here over the last 3 weeks since we last talked. Keandre Miller, 2 years, 3.872, and signs with the Rangers.
No, it's more than that. Wasn't it?
TSN has 2 years. It's a bridge deal.
He Oh, I must have looked at it 7.8 combined. Yeah, sorry, I thought that was AAV. No. Yeah, this is the only thing that they could do.
Yeah, they have to bridge
him. It was either signed a 2-year bridge deal or you risk him getting offer sheeted because they couldn't afford to sign him long term.
Yeah. Samsonov gets a 1-year deal. Let's shelf that. We're going to talk about that one during arbitration. Ottawa signs Tarasenko 1-year, $5 million. Did that surprise you?
Not really. I mean, they traded DeBrincat, so they needed to fill in the top six role somewhere. It was surprising to hear that he turned down a 4-year deal from Ottawa for more money and then signed a 1-year deal for less. I mean, that kind of surprised me.
He doesn't want to go live in Ottawa.
I guess, but I mean,
that's what that tells you.
You get to play with Drake Batherson and Brady Tkachuk. I wouldn't mind that.
He doesn't want to live in Ottawa.
I mean, not many people would.
I love what Ottawa's doing. I really do.
I mean, everybody thought last year they're going to be a playoff team. I don't think I had them in the playoffs. I think I'm just missing. But they're building a young core. They got that young core all signed up and locked in long term. They brought in Korpisalo on a 5-year deal this year. So we'll see how that turns out for them. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Sebastian Aho signs a big deal. 8-year extension worth $9.75 million with the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't know if the signing didn't surprise me. Did the price surprise you just a hair?
A little bit. I've always been on record saying you sign your young players as long as you can. As long as you can, whether that's 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. And they do that. Hits their best player.
Yeah. You're right.
They lock them up at a reasonable price. It's under $10 million, 8 years. I don't have a problem.
I don't
with
say
that.
This very often, but 5 years from now, that might look pretty good.
Yeah. No, I mean,
and I don't say that very often.
It depends how much the cap goes up, right?
Yeah. I don't say that one very often. Gustafson, Philip Gustafson, 3 years in Minnesota, $3.75 million.
That's
a good signing.
That's the goalie. That's the goalie of the future, right? I mean, I think you got Fleury backing him up for one more season.
I think it's a good signing. That's a really good,
signing. He's a stud. He's a stud.
I think 100%. So too. Matt Dumba. This one surprised me a little bit. 1 year, $3.9 million to go to Arizona.
That didn't surprise me at all. I mean,
go to Arizona though for 1 year.
I hate to say it. Do you not like what Arizona's done this summer?
Yeah, I do actually.
I do. I mean, at least they're showing that they're going to be somewhat competitive and they're signing players.
I do actually.
LTIR contracts.
Yep.
For their books.
I agree. I like what they're doing.
They brought in Dumba. They're getting Logan Cooley from Minnesota. They're going to be exciting. They're not going to be good. They're going to be a lot more respectable than what
Buffalo-esque.
Not quite. They don't have enough young talent there, but I mean, I don't mind that. Like that's got some exciting players on that team. Yeah. Which, like, Dumba's obviously getting flipped at the deadline. They're not gonna. He's obviously betting.
Well, what are they gonna flip him for though? They don't need any more draft picks.
He's obviously betting on himself that he signed a one year deal. In a market that there's no pressure in, right? He can go over there, fly under the radar, and hopefully he has a bounce back season and he gets his career back on track and he can sign one more long-term deal for his career. That's his goal. You've seen a lot of players sign one-year deals because the cap's going to go up in the next 1 to 2 years, right?
Yeah.
You're starting to see a lot of that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. This is the one that shocked me bigger than any of the other ones. Washington Capitals re-signed Tom Wilson to a 7-year, $6.5 million contract.
I'm speechless, man. I am. I really am. I don't get...
I don't even know what to say about this one.
I'm not speechless a lot, but this guy's barely been on the ice the last 2 years. If he's not suspended, he's hurt.
I don't understand what they're doing on this. This is going to be a Milan Lucic trade. Milan Lucic signing.
Wilson's a lot more effective than Lucic, though.
about 6 years from now?
Maybe not 6 years from now.
That's what I mean. Lucic used to be a lot more effective than he was. If he
can stay healthy and stay on the ice.
Which he has not done for 2 years.
But if he can, maybe he gets 75% of that contract production. I don't know.
Sounds like a horrible, horrible idea. Arbitration. I want to talk a little bit about arbitration before we get on to three questions. Arbitration is such a sticky thing. Jeremy Swayman, ghost arbitrations, awarded $3.475 million to re-sign with Boston. Ilya Samsonov, awarded in 1 year deal in arbitration, $3.55 million. Like, what does that do to the relationship? And this is the one that really blew my mind. Troy Terry asks for $8 million. The team asks for $4.5 million. And then right before arbitration, he signs a 7 year, $7 million contract.
Arbitration is the worst case possible. You're pretty much going into a courtroom and ripping the player.
I know. So it destroys the relationship.
Why he's worth $4 million. Why, hey, this is why you're worth $4 million less than what you're asking. It's horrible for the relationship. It's like, I was shocked that the Maple Leafs let Samsonov go to arbitration.
I know, me too.
That blew my mind.
Because he's not going to resign there.
A lot of people don't realize that how bad it is for the both parties' relationships. It's not good.
No.
You basically go in there and rip them and tell them why you're worth less.
Name me the last goalie that went to arbitration that re-signed there.
It's bad.
I can't think of one.
No, here's another kid.
So you're a base.
A goalie is the last guy I'm taking to an arbitration case.
So you're a baseball guy, and from what I've been told in baseball is the team comes in with a number, and the player comes in with a number, and the arbitrator has to pick one of the two.
Correct. Yeah.
What hockey needs to go to that, because when I see Troy Terry saying 4.5, or excuse me, the team saying 4.5, and him saying $8 million. Oh, give me a break. If they had to pick one of the two, he would have never said $8 million. He'd have said seven or six. And the team would have never said 4.5. The team would have never said 4.5. They just said 6.5. And then you know what would have happened? They'd have been like, we're only $500,000 apart. Let's get this done.
Yeah, 100%. Baseball
solves the whole problem.
Baseball is a very, it's a very interesting arbitration process. So what happens is, it's called a qualifying offer. Okay. So this is for pending free agents. Okay. This is not arbitration. This is a whole other thing. So there's a thing called a qualifying offer, which is around $17 million. Okay. So he either accepts that qualifying offer or he can decline and the team gets compensation picks and then he becomes an unrestricted free agent. But if you sign a qualifying offer, you can only get the qualifying offer once in your career. So if you like, it's an interesting process. It'd be interesting to see if NHL ever did something like that. But the arbitration is you come up with a number, team comes up with a number, and then the arbitrator picks one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would just be cleaner for the NHL. And
it would save a lot of messy situations for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Blake, we're to the point of the show. Three questions. I'll be right back with three good ones for you this week.
It's time for three questions.
All right, Blake, my turn this week to ask you three questions. Let's get it going right away. Question number one, what defenseman would you rather have on your team? Rasmus Dahlin, Mort Sider, Quinn Hughes, or Miro Heiskanen?
Can you repeat it?
Yep. What defenseman would you rather have on your team? Rasmus Dahlin, Mort Sider, Quinn Hughes, or Miro Heiskanen?
That's a tough one. I would say either Mort Sider or Quinn Hughes. That's a tough one, man. I would probably lean more towards Mort Sider because he's right-handed and they're just so hard to find. And he's physical. Like, how many Maybe right hand D are physical, can move the puck like that, and are good two way. Like it,
I would
he's pick, gonna be a, such a good player.
I would pick Heiskanen.
You would?
I love what he does. I love him.
He's big.
He can skate. He can move the. I just love him. He's a whole package. Yeah. He's a whole package. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Question number two: which three teams are the most dangerous heading into next season?
Dangerous?
Yep.
Well, I mean, you gotta say the Oilers because I mean they got the two best players in the world. Carolina.
We're two for two on my picks for this.
Three? You want me to name three?
Yep. I know mine.
I guess I'll go the Leafs.
I'll go Colorado. I think we're going to see Colorado bounce back this year.
Yeah. I mean, Edmonton's obviously always going to be involved in stuff like that. Because, I mean, whenever you got Draisaitl and McDavid, two-headed monster, you're going to be in a lot of games.
So. Question number three. What player desperately needs a bounce back year this year?
It's Huberto. It has to be Huberto.
That's what I had to say, too.
It has to be Huberto. You just signed, this is the first year of that mammoth eight-year, $10.5 million deal. He's coming off one of the worst seasons in, I think, the last five for him. Last four, you're going to get a new coach in there, a new system, new energy, hopefully some young additions to that lineup, and hopefully it sparks them because the Flames aren't going anywhere if Huberto don't get back to where he was the year before the trade, which was 110 points.
Well,
they're not going anywhere without Markstrom.
If he gets to 80 points, 82, that's great. Point of game guy, that's great.
For 10.5, though, maybe like 90, 95 for that.
He's not going to get 115 again.
I'm not expecting to get 115, but 90, 95.
Well, that would be wonderful. That'd be wonderful.
But like I said, the Flames are without Markstrom or without Huberto, they're not going anywhere. That's just the facts. Listen, unless Dustin Wolf comes in and stands on his head. I don't know.
They still need those other guys to produce. So,
for sure.
All right, listener question. It's a good one. I want you to predict the top.
Already? We're already
No. Not teams.
Okay.
Predict the top five goal leaders for 23-24.
In any particular order or one through five?
No, any particular order. Five of them, the top five.
I'll go McDavid.
Okay. I got McDavid in my top five, too.
Cage Thompson.
I got him in my top five.
Leon Draisaitl.
I do not have him in my top five.
Ovechkin.
I do not have him in my top five.
So that's what, four?
You've got four.
Austin Matthews.
Okay, I have him. I had McDavid, Matthews, Thompson, the same as you. I had Kaprizov and Tim Stützle in there.
Timmy Stützle, eh?
Yep.
Not bad.
I've got him in.
I think T.H. Thompson's going to blow off again. I think he's just knocking on the door for his potential.
So. I hope so. I like what he brings to table.
He's so fun to watch.
He is a really, really fun player to watch. And it'll be fun to see what he can do next year. I'm excited for that whole team. And we're going to talk about that in the coming episodes here, some of the things that we're excited for heading into this new season.
No, it's a good episode. Hopefully it turns out good post-production. It looks like it didn't lag much on my end. But
we're testing.
There's thunderstorms in the area, so like I'll have to watch it back on YouTube to see how it turns out. It was a good episode, though.
Testing new equipment. Or not new equipment, but new internet and a lot of things tonight. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, technology is great, but sometimes you can go sideways.
We are back here in a few weeks. We're going to be talking about what do you think of first the hockey edition, whether it be jerseys or just to bring back some old memories of different hockey things when you see something, what comes to mind. First, have a great off-season, hockey fans. We are back here in a couple weeks. Normal show times are Monday nights. During the regular season, we are every single week of the off-season. We spread it out just a little bit and enjoy what's left of the summer. And about a little over a month away from some preseason hockey. Looking forward to that. Take care, hockey fans.
Can't wait to watch 8 games.
Yes, I know. I know.
Split squad.
Take care, hockey fans, and we will talk soon. Connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.